Take your Bible and turn to the book of Jude, please. The book of Jude. I love it. Old school, bro. Book of Jude, only one chapter. We'll look at verses 20 through 25. Jude, one chapter, verses 20 to 25. Much here. I'm going to concentrate on one verse, but I want to read this portion of Scripture. Verse 20, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. I don't know about you, but I want God's mercy. Amen. I want His grace. Verse 22, and of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever and ever. Amen. My message is entitled one simple little word, influence. I refer you back to verse 22. And some have compassion, underline it all, but particularly the last three words, making a difference. Making a difference. I'm going to speak to you tonight about the subject of influence. The influence we have. Let me give you a definition from Webster's Under the Bridge, if I could please. A simple, in a sense, definition of what I mean by influence. Simply says, implies the power of persons or things, whether or not exerted consciously or overtly, to affect others. Let me read that again. Definition, influence. Implies the power of persons, that's what we're concentrating, or things, whether or not exerted consciously or overtly, to affect others. Hope you keep that in mind as we go through and study this. Let me give you this note. Influence should keep us from retiring or quitting on God. Now, I know you've heard I've partially retired. You don't retire from the Lord's work. Now, I've stepped back a couple days since I got two young pups that can do some of this other. Amen? But I asked Dr. House one day, I said, Doc, what about these pastors that just quit the ministry, just get out and retire, and just, I said, what happens to them? He says, they just go to seed. I don't want to be guilty of that, folks. I want to, the expression you Texans have is die with my boots on. Because I understand I still have an influence. You older folks, and I particularly speak to you tonight, it's not time to hang it up. It's not time to let the younger generation do it. It's time to keep influencing people the best we can do. The church needs us. The family needs us. Our country needs us. And our influence as we stay in the center of God's will. We should never get too old to, one, share the gospel, John 3:16. We should never get old to give our testimony. We should never get too old to pray without ceasing. We should always serve the Lord with all our heart. Ecclesiastes 9:10, listen to it. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave. You've heard the little couplet thing, only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Well, listen, we'll soon be in the grave, and when we're in the grave then, we'll have no knowledge, we'll have no, there's nothing we can do in the grave. We have to do it now, ladies and gentlemen. Why? While we are living. I want you to think a moment. Won't have time for you to think too long. It hurts when I think, but try to. Who influenced you? Who influenced you? Was it a parent? Parents, that's one of our great jobs, amen? Was it a friend? By the way, you can be influenced in a negative way. When I have trouble with our teenagers today, they're influenced by the wrong crowd. Was it a teacher or a Sunday school teacher? Was it a pastor? Was it a coach? I'm asking you the question. Think about it. Who influenced you to allow you to be here tonight, faithful in God's house. Whoever it was, you ought to thank God for. Amen? Ecclesiastes 5:13 says, there is a sore evil which I've seen under the sun, namely, riches kept for the owners thereof to their hurt. And if I can just stretch the scripture a little bit, I believe that we who have gifts that God has given us and we don't use them the way God intended, that is to our hurt. That is to our problem. That is to our lack of doing anything. Exodus 4:2, Moses, you remember when he was called, was giving God excuses. One of the excuses was he stuttered. I don't know what he did. He had a speech impediment. God said, I already take care of that. I got your brother there. And Moses was arguing with him. And God asked him a question. Bible says, and the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, Moses said, a rod. Talking about influence. Something small, something insignificant. And God took that rod, and you know the marvelous things that Moses did with that rod. He influenced. Little David, young teenager, what do you got in your hand? I got a sling. You going to do anything with that with God? God did it, didn't he? You know the story. Book of Judges is a marvelous book. We know the cycle of sin and supplication and salvation. You studied that. But there's some neat things in the book of Judges, weak things and things, little insignificant things in people's hands that God put in there to use. Ehud, he was left-handed. I can relate to that, being left-handed. He had a knife and he put it in. Well, you know that story. We won't go there. Just a few verses later, there's a fellow named Shamgar. He had a simple ox goad in his hand. With it, he slew 600 Philistines and delivered Israel. One of the judges. Influence. Then there's a lady, I don't want to leave you ladies out, named Jael. When Sisera came to her house, he was running. He asked for a certain thing to drink. She gave him warm milk. By the way, fellas, if you come home and you want coffee and your wife says warm milk, sleep with one eye open. And he laid down and went nighty-night, and she took a hammer. Some of you women are looking at me like, this sounds good. And a spike and a nail and went, bam. So much for him. Something small. One of the Midianites had a dream. A cake of barley bread comes tumbling to the host. And we know later on, then we have a pitcher and a trumpet. Small, insignificant things. God used to Gideon to be an influence in his time and deliver his people. Then there was a piece of millstone. This lady wasn't named. The Bible says a certain woman. Oh, Abimelech. And she was up in a high tower, the Bible says. And she took a very simple little thing called a piece of millstone and went, phew. Shall I say she made an impression on Abimelech, and the Bible says broke his skull. A little later on in the book of Judges, you have a man named Samson, a jawbone of an ass, something very weak, something very simple. God said you can influence with that. And with that jawbone of an ass, he slayed 1,000 people. New Testament, just one example I was thinking as I'm preparing. I'm talking about influence. The Lord had compassion on the people. And he said, do we have any food here? And one of the disciples answered, there's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And that little lad, the Bible says, gave it to him. Something very simple. He was willing to take what gift and what he had and gave it to God, and God did a great work. Christ did a great work for him. Amen. I got a question tonight for you folks. What's in your hand? What's in your hand? Are you a builder? An electrician? A jack of all trades? Hi, Gordon. A teacher? An artist? A musician? Or, I hate to even say this, computer skills? God can use your abilities to influence others to use their abilities too. I sat down for about an hour and a half with a lady, one of our shut-ins last night, yesterday. Got to talking about influence, and she had very serious kidney operation back in 1971. Now go back. And we got to talking. She says, that's the first time I met Mrs. Bufford. When I first came out of surgery, I was rooming with her daughter. But later on, I had to be in a private room because of the seriousness of that. And she said, I remember the first time I met Mrs. Bufford, she came to the hospital and gave me a pair of slippers kind of thing that she had knitted. What's that in your hand, Mrs. Bufford? Just a little knitting thing? But that's the first time, and she did a kindness. What's that in your hand, folks? It should be a love for God, that we can be an influence. It's skills and talent that are perfected. Listen, some of you, 30, 40, 50 years of wisdom and knowledge, don't throw it away. You can still be an influence on folks. Be it on these younger people. Teach them, help them. It's the best years of your life, even though I do moan and groan, Peggy. I'm enjoying life, amen? Now quickly, how do we have influence? Number one, the influence of role modeling. The influence of role modeling. Listen to this. Role modeling is called the greatest unconscious form of learning. Let me say it again. Role modeling is called the greatest unconscious form of learning. Our example is not being overlooked by others, especially the next generation we are watching. Now, guys, you're not, don't have your head in the sand. We've got a whole lot of role models out there that are negative. And can I say Satan's behind them all? TV commercials, casinos, inflated egos, talk shows, sitcoms, R and X-rated movies, anti-family shows, liberal media, MTV, anti-God comedy shows, sports, and 24/7 peer pressure to conform to the world. Oh, I said Satan is a devious photographer. Did you know he was a photographer? I remember Dr. Howe was preaching, I think right here in this pulpit years ago, gave this illustration, and it's still fitting today. Satan will only show you half the picture. Satan will only show us half the picture. You remember the Marlboro Man? Oh, we took cigarettes advertisement off TV. I wish they'd go after the liquor crowd like that. But there's the Marlboro Man. Maybe some of you saw it in advertising. He'd ride up on that big old horse, and he'd kind of get up on top of the hill, and he'd sit there, and as that old horseman, he was got that cigarette in his mouth, and he had that Marlboro signature right there on him. Man, that was cool. Is Marlboro not cool? Some of you smoked then. Man, that looks great! Oh, but we didn't see half of the other half of the picture when that particular man that played that part died of cancer in the hospital. He'll show the young man on the college campus with a bottle of beer in his hand and three blondes on the other arm. Boy, that looks like we're having fun. But let me fast forward about 5 years and we see the same man living under a bridge, groveling through a trash can trying to find enough food, stealing money off the table, and lost his wife and lost his kids. Satan only shows us half the picture, folks. There's a negative influence. We need to be a positive influence for Christ. We must exert our influence for good and for God. The person who shows Christ-likeness still has a great influence. My, I don't like to be name droppers, but I'm going to do it. Brother and Mrs. Haley, God bless you for being in church. Gloria. They influence me, folks. Brother and Mrs. Plumley, God bless you. Gordon, I don't mean to miss some people, but you folks are an influence on me, and you just keep on keeping on the best that you can be, please. I tell my fellows out of school, get around older folks. Not Brother Rigsby, he's not older. You can learn from him. Tom Booth. Tom Booth sat right back here about where Donald is, Gloria, just a little bit. And most of you don't remember Tom Booth. They called him Uncle Tom. Uncle Tom used to go with me. I got around older people. I had to take my advice. And when I'd go and represent the school, I'd go and preach at the school and tell about Norris. And sometimes Brother Tom would ride with me. I always remember Tom. He sang that song all the time. He loved that song, Life's Railway to Heaven. Thank you, Madeline, for finding that for me. And the basic part of it is keep your hand on the throttle and your eye on the rail. Amen? He said, what about Uncle Tom Booth? I'm talking about influence. Uncle Tom had a little house over here off Trail Lake. You walk in his house really was a miniature grocery store. His garage, he didn't put his car in it. He had four or five freezers that he put frozen food in. And he'd call me up and he'd say, Red. Now that was my name. I used to have red hair. I said, yes, Brother Tom. He said, you got any students that need some food? I said, I bet I can find some. And I'd go over there. And he wouldn't have two or three sacks of groceries. He'd have 10 and 12 sacks of groceries that I'd load up in my car and bring here when we had the school here, and we'd give it to the people. We were riding one night, and I said, Tom, I'm talking about influence, folks, right influence, godly influence. I said, Tom, how'd you learn to give? Oh, he said, that's easy. I can tell you that story. He said, when I was a little kid, he said, our family lived out in Cleburne, and it rained, and it rained, and it rained. During harvest time, we brought in gypsies to do the crops for us. He said, it was Christmas time. He said, we usually, what little gifts we got the day before Christmas. He said, I'll never forget, man. My dad and mom bought me a pair of gloves. And he said, man, I love them gloves. Man, they were warm. They were nice. I went to bed. Remember when you was a kid, you got a baseball glove or a bat, and you went to bed with it? You ever do that? Maybe I'm just crazy to do it. He said, I'll never forget. I got up Christmas morning, and I came down the stairs, and there was Dad and Mom, and here's these gypsies, poor gypsy folks, and they were giving, Mom and Dad were giving them gifts. That's what Christmas is all about, isn't it? And he said, Mom and Dad got done giving gifts, and Dad turned to me, and he said, Tom, you got anything you want to give? Tom said, he just kind of sitting there. Then he saw Dad look down at his gloves. And Tom said, I understood. I was to take my gloves off and give them one of the little boys. Whew. So that's when I started learning to give. That influenced me, folks. I was giving, but it told me to give some more. We can't outgive God. I'm talking about godly influence. We need to exert it and to do it. Quickly, we have the influence of encouragement. We have the influence of role modeling, but we have the influence of encouragement. It won't stand long here, but people need encouraged. Most people I know are discouraged. As good Christians in God's will, wanting to be an influence on somebody, have you encouraged anybody lately? Bible says, talks about edifying one another with right speech. Most of the time, we're not edifying. That is an influence we got to have. I'm going to encourage this young couple right here because I know them. Stay by the stuff. God's called you to great men. Stay with it. Encourage you. Know, Frank will see me after a bit and say, give me some money to get there. I'll have to do that too, Frank. You do it. Amen. Quickly, the service, the influence of your service to the Lord. Question. Have your children, your neighbors, your friends, your relatives seen you serving Lord or talk about serving the Lord? Are they aware when you leave at 6 o'clock at night where you're at? My neighbors will have an easy time robbing my house on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night because they know I ain't there. Pardon the English. Influence is seen by great faith. That's why I commend these folks here for being here when the simple thing to do because of their health would be to stay home, and God would understand that, I believe. Great faith. Dr. and Mrs. Mears, you younger folks don't remember them. They were Mrs. Barber's pastor and wife years ago. I'll never forget it as long as I live. I was, of course, with the school years, but I would sit out here, and one Wednesday night, Dr. Barber was out of town. He asked often Dr. Mears to preach, and I don't remember all the message, as none of you will ever do either, but I know the theme of the message was faith. Now, they were up in their 70s, I think, by that time, not quitting, still trying to influence, still trying to preach God's word. But I know the subject was having faith in God. The next day, we found out that while Brother Mears was preaching from this pulpit, up on, I think, 114, one of those gravel trucks came running through a red light and T-boned his son, who was killed. But you know what? The next time the doors were open, they were there. Ladies and gentlemen, that influenced me to keep on keeping on for Christ. Romans 11:29 says, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. What do we mean by that? Repentance in this case means irrevocable. God's not going to take them away. They're there. What are you doing with them? I don't know about you, but I hate to stand before God and say, God, whatever gifts you gave me, I didn't use them. They sat there. I didn't put them into action. And I don't want to look at the Lord and say, Lord, whatever you gave me. And by the way, guys, you haven't figured this out. I don't have a whole lot of gifts. I can't sing. I can't play. Only thing I can pick and play is my nose. I can't pray. Don't amen on this. I can't pray. That's not my calling. I really don't know what I can do, but you know what? I'm just going to make myself available for God and use me that I can be an influence on somebody. And I promise you, all of you got a gift that God has given you to exercise. You got a mouth, don't you? You can witness, don't you? Our faith needs to be big enough for our children and those around us to see. Great faith influences everyone around us. Amen? Stand to your feet, please. Two questions as we go into the invitation. Or two statements. Question. Am I using what God has given me to be an influence to those around me? Let me say it again. Am I using what God has given me to be an influence to those around me? Your neighbors, your family, your friends, your relatives. 2 Timothy 1:6 says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance, Paul talking to Timothy, that thou stir up the gift of God.